Victory Mafia AU, Oral Not Fake. Chapter 2, / the continuation in the comments. Podfickers note. Opal Song here. So I created the first one with hopes that people would respond in the comments and help come up with more stuff, and for the most part, that really happened, so thank you all. It was always my intention to record all of the comments as they came out, or, well, I had really hoped that people would record their own comments, and then I could edit them together. I don't think anybody actually recorded stuff except for maybe you, Anif? Anyway, and to keep this in oral capacity, I decided I would just record everybody's comments myself. Vamprav. Victor totally went over to Japan on business and walks into the secret room at the Yakuza base, and Yuri is giving the beatdown on a drug dealer who was selling at high schools and falls head over heels in love. And then one day Yuri and Victor go to Russia to talk about organized crime stuff, and it's Yurio sitting where Victor's dad normally sits, and Victor's like, huh, I literally left 5 months ago. What happened? And Yurio's like, oh my fucking god, Victor, you ran off to become this Yakuza boss's housewife. How am I related to you? And Yuri and Otobek are just standing in the background, sweat dropping. And then the moms show up. They take one look at the situation, and suddenly there's a new alliance between the Russian mafia and Yuri's Yakuza, and a shotgun wedding between Yuri and Victor to symbolize said alliance. And then Otobek reports some of this to his superiors, because if he didn't, he would be fired if someone snitched. And his handler, or whatever, just facepalms, and decides to bury the report he's just been handed under several piles of paperwork, resign, and take up a new job as an alcoholic, because he's too old for this goddamn shit. Opal Songs. Reader's comments. Oh my gosh. That description of Otobek's handler makes me think it's Yakov. So, yeah, Yakov is totally Otobek's handler, provided that we don't come up with something for Yakov later. Yakov totally knows that Otobek has fallen for Yurio and that he's double agenting, and Yakov just does not care, as long as he's still getting reports that are accurate. They sit down and have this conversation at one point, totally off record, where Yakov is just like, look, I know you're in love with the mob boss, and just like, yeah, fine, but as long as you can get me something even remotely accurate and don't fucking lie to me, like you can lie in the whatever reports all you want, but as long as you don't lie to me and give me accurate information. Like, I understand if you can't give me everything, but give me what you can. I will help you and hide this. And so they have this, like, awesome, super morally gray alliance where Otobek shares what he can without, you know, jeopardizing anything Yuri is doing, and actually shares a lot about all of Yurio's enemies, and, you know, helps bring all of them down, which the police really like, and also really helps Yuri. So yeah, it's gray as fuck, but works. And Yakov is just like, ugh. Anyway, oh my gosh. Yuenif, in reply to Vamprav. Yes! This is great! Grinning face! Also, I really want all the moms to team up. Yurio and Victor's moms are BFFs. And lovers? Question mark. Have always been lovers? In a poly relationship for ages, and they simply agreed that Victor, as the wife's son, was the heir, but she loves their cranky stepson too, and they handle most of the actual mafia things while Yurio grows into his role and learns, but they always find time to tease him and worry about his giant crush on Otabek. Opal Song, in response to Yuenef. Okay, oh my god. Firstly, 100% canon that the moms... I've named them Maria for Yurio's and Tatiana for Victor, in my head, for the sake of organization. Do they have canon names? Or in a relationship? Though it's only poly by force. I am ridiculously invested in these two OCs. Reader's side note. Yeah, this makes the second OC slash almost... slash minor character moms that I have now created elaborate stories for that I really, really want fic for. Apparently, it's a thing now. Content warnings. Consent issues. Lots of them. Forced pregnancy. Murder. Hostage taking. Graphic violence. General shittiness. Me changing my mind about some things I rambled about. Maria's story goes like this. She's a server at a local restaurant slash pub that is a haunt of the mafia. She knows this, but figures it's a calculated risk. One day, the boss is a patron, which has never, to anyone's knowledge, happened before. And they sit at one of her tables. He takes a shine to her. She knows that she cannot refuse him because he would brutally murder and torture her family if she turns him down. She grits her teeth and rides it out, figuring it'll never happen again. It happens again. She quit the job after. The owner gave her a pretty hefty severance check. But he found her anyway. Because the owner has a family, too. She is eventually taken back to the mansion that is the boss's house and installed as a maid. Which is completely demeaning and also not the skill set that she went to school for. Like, accounting or something? Then she meets Tatiana, the boss's wife. Honestly, the first time Maria meets the boss's wife, she is pretty sure the boss's wife is going to murder her. Not have her murdered. Do it with her own two hands. But Tatiana knows the shitty person that she is married to, and so befriends Maria. She tries to befriend all of boss's mistresses. The ones that want to off her and take her place are quickly found to be moles or die in oddly natural ways. Over the next several months, they become fast friends and then fall in love. Maria adores Victor. So cute as a child. Then she gets pregnant. Apparently, she is even more gorgeous while pregnant, so boss forces her to keep the child. After, Maria is terrified, rightfully so, that Yuri will become a pawn to control her or a victim himself, and she and Tatiana plot to get him taken away. Tatiana pulls the jealous stepmother act and says she doesn't want him around because he is proof of boss's infidelity. And how would that look? And also he'll be competition for Victor. So boss sends him away, figuring that he can be a hostage against Maria. When Yuri's about 2 to 3 years old. But Tatiana manages to get Yuri into the custody of her father, who, while not a mafia boss, formerly was someone very well connected and powerful, but all in ways that boss thinks are useless. Over the years, Maria and Tatiana visit Yuri a lot. They bring Victor, and the two are very, very brothers. Yuri and Victor knows that Maria is his birth mom and Tatiana is his other mom. Grandfather teaches Yuri everything he knows, which is a fuck ton about mafia shit. Tatiana and Maria plan the downfall of Boss. Yuri is often trotted out for high-level events. Sometimes Boss brings him to wave in people's faces. Sometimes Tatiana brings him to punish him, especially after he is friends with Otebek. See UA Nif's comment below. But most of the time, Grandfather brings him, because he's always invited to these things and Yuri needs to practice. Fast forward to when Yuri is 16. Maria and Tatiana's plan is about to be put into motion because Victor is ready. But then Victor fucks off to Japan for love and brutal murder. They think about it and decide, fuck it, we can rule behind the throne. We want this fucker dead. And move forward with the plan. Boss is brutally murdered, in such a way that makes it perfectly clear that he is a rapist and a shit human being. I'm thinking his dick is cut off and shoved into his mouth as a gag for one aspect. And while there is no evidence that Maria and Tatiana did it, Yuri and others close to them know they did. With their own hands, too. Yuri is installed as mafia boss, and there are immediate problems of succession. And when Tatiana and Maria think they'll have to step in, nope, Yuri's got this handled. He was trained by Grandfather, and Grandfather's good friend, and Victor's tutor, Yakov, and his ex-wife. Then the scene Vamprav said with Victor coming home, and the marriage, and etc. And BTW, you ran off to become this Yakuza boss's housewife? How am I related to you? Is the best line! OMG! But, yeah, my feels for these two OCs. Let me show you them. Opal Song, in response to Vamprav. OMG! Everything about this is amazing! Tell me more about Yakuza Yuri and Housewife Victor. Though, I think Victor isn't as much a housewife as Yurio thinks he is. He's Yuri's top enforcer slash assassin. Maybe most of the Yakuza think Victor is the exotic fucktoy Yuri got from Russia, but then, oops, there go your entrails. Smile. And Victor presenting the bloody knife to Yuri. And I think Yuri appears to be way nicer than he is. They go to Russia and everyone is like, dot, dot, dot. This is the Yakuza boss? He is useless. Yuri thinks of himself that way a lot, too. But then, oh, that hideous tie was hiding a garret. Oh my, that is an artfully trussed-up room of corpses you have now made. The blood splatters really enhance the carpet pattern. And Victor is all, mm-hmm, smiles lazily. That's my fiancé. P.S. The police would be terrified of this alliance. But also, what? What just happened? You are lying, Otebek! Beast and the Dragon. Mila is some kind of Black Widow-esque part of Yurio's team, who's still citing as Yurio's big sis, OFC. That keeps meeting another, question mark, mafia Sarah on jobs, or something, and they keep high-key flirting and trying to finish their objectives, and it turns into some very weird competitions that always end with them, like, getting gelato or something after jobs. BTW, I love this! UA Nif.
Fem slash hell yes! Thank you! Woo! Content notes, beyond and descriptions ahead. How about a train assassin without most of the brainwashing? She's a bit of an unusual one, because she actually punches and breaks people's faces on a knee instead of, you know, quietly garroting them in an alley without breaking a sweat. Nah, Mila's likes the fight and the struggle of their brains. Once, in Luxembourg, she interrupting the classy affair dinner of a target, a high-profile CEO, who had his hand creeping up his date's leg, ugh, what a pig, he told his wife and his company was on a business trip. And she's all, excuse me, mister, you dropped this. And just fucks the guy to death. People around start to rise up and scream. They give the growing puddle a wide berth while running for the exits. Myla turns around for a bloodbath to apologize to the poor girl. She expects the poor, delicate thing to be traumatized. Oh well. But nope. Sarah is frozen mid-movement, mouth dropped open, and eyes shining bright with interest, pupils blown. And a hand still poised over the CEO's drink. One last drop of queer liquid, poison, falling into his wine glass. Myla smiles. It's a little too wolfish to pass as normal. She pushes hair out of her face, leaves more blood in it than less. Reason number two, she keeps it dyed red. Sorry? It looks like I've interrupted your plans. Sarah puts away the vial, pouts. You could have done that before I wasted perfectly good poison. Myla winks. Better luck next time. Do you need to take anything from him, or... She waves at a cadaver. Sarah sighs, giving Myla a dark look, but gets all the way up. She has very long legs and a very short skirt, and Myla is interested, and steps over the dead body. Literally steps on him with her glittering high heels, because it's the only way to avoid stepping in the splashed blood and gore. And she pats the guy down. She picks his hotel key card and copies his fingerprint on a small nut makeup case gadget. Myla is very interested. We can go now. Sarah is already at the door leading to the kitchen, backlit with bright neon lights, dress and shoes and teeth sparkling. This was also Myla's exit plan, and she is screwed, and hopefully we'll get more screwed by this gorgeous person soon. Coming. Coming, Myla says, delighted. And together they run for the police and end up in a hotel room and fuck all night and never exchange names, countries, or phone numbers. They'll do that the next time they run into each other while committing the same murder.
Opal Song, in response to UA Niff. This is so good for me! Is Creepy Brother in this anywhere? Her cleaner, maybe? Like, cleans up bodies, etc.? Or just, I don't even know. Also, Georgie, tell me that creeper is somewhere being broken-hearted and a super shitty person. UA Niff, in response to Opal Song.
I love Michele as a cleaner, where he makes people disappear. He started at 14, when he made Sarah's first boyfriend change school just by staring at him through lunchtime. And also he put a dead rat in his locker with a "Go away or else!" love note. Emil is like his boyfriend on the side, but they don't really have a thing. I don't even fucking know. I want them to be friends, but like, Emil is precious, and Michele is fucking creepy, but maybe they can have that Otabek and that thing going on too, where one of them is a good guy and the other is a not good guy, and they somewhere meet in the middle. We'll find out. Georgie is absolutely a phantom of the opera, bro, who kidnaps people he's infatuated with and dramas them to death and beyond. Experts on his trail think that he's a serial killer who remains Fox's victim for weeks on end, but really, he's way less organized than that. He chooses them all based on a random detail he links to his first and sole girlfriend, who, by the way, is the only victim of his that ever escaped alive, so far. He also tends to dress the bodies up, dramatic makeup and Victorian clothes and all, before he dumps them in various bodies of water and ice. He wears fedoras whenever he's out in public, because of course he does.
You ain't enough. In response to the original post. This is cool! I like it! Can we kudos something when we're co-creator of it? Aha, whatever, I'll try anyway. Okay, so some more floating ideas.
Now, chapter 2. Chapter 3. Otabek. Otabek's parents are possibly corrupt foreign dignitaries. As they're rich, they live in upskirt uptown town. What the fuck is this sentence? They live in an upscale town. Like, I don't even know. They're just fucking rich, man. And a block down is Victor and Uriel's families. They see each other in passing when the strollers go by, then as toddlers when they are in a nursery hidden room where their parents are shaking hands and passing money around in galas and big events. At one such event, the kids are in tiny adorable suits that's way too serious for the chubby roddy cheeks and kicking stones around the courtyard. Otabek is watching the pond and wondering if these are eating fish or pretty only fish. Then he's called out by mean kids who speak English too and say mean words and stuff like, "My dad says your dad is an own cat for the mafia and always showing belly." And Otabek clenches his tiny pudgy fists and doesn't cry, but really, really wants to. And then, bam! There's a tiny flurry of gold and white and grunt! Short arms, wind whales, and splash! Water everywhere! Oh no, the fish! And wahine! And there's adults poking their heads out and running over because the mean kids have been pushed into the pond by a tiny, furious, snarling blonde child, patchy red-faced with anger. His knuckles are bleeding, his hair in as a disarray as a messy halo around his head in the midday sun. "I like cats!" the small, furious angel screeches in English, wrapped in a thick accent. Then an adult with a deep voice and a full mustache bellows, "Jorocha!" And a small child goes, "Hee!" and grabs Otabek's tiny fist in his own and runs away with him to hide in the bushes on the other side of the courtyard. Since the small child's suit is bright white, Otabek doesn't think they're hiding very good, but they don't really have to. Adults have stupid shoes and can almost never be bothered to walk on grass anyway. "Is your hand okay?" Otabek asks, because he's the oldest here and should take care of the small child. He's older by like a really stupid number of months, which can be years, I'm good with that. But like, this is very important to kids, okay? So he's very old. Like, I don't know, 7, and the other is 5. And tiny Yurio huffs and just licks his bleeding knuckles like a tiny psychopath cutie pie. "He really is a cat," thinks Otabek. And he's stupidly charmed, which, as a child, means he pushes Yuri's head away and licks the last of the blood off Yuri's knuckles himself, then wipes his tongue on the roof of his mouth and grimaces because it tastes like metal and yuck. But don't worry, he will learn to like that. And announces, "Now we're brothers," the way his teen characters do on TV. And this is why TV will rot your brain. Says the one who writes fucking math at AUs. What the hell is wrong with me? And Yurio just stares and stares. And Otabek starts to sweat. What did he do wrong now? But then Yurio just beams. And it's sunshine and flower and kittens. And he says, "Okay, wanna play?" And of course, the game is like ripping wings off butterflies. Which is a little weird, but sure. But then Otabek decides he could give the butterfly's body to the fish in the pond to eat. And it turns into a colorful frenzy and they both go, "Whoa!" And that is how tiny Otabek and even tinier Yurio, in dirty suits, hide the bodies of their first shared victims and find out they really, really like to murder together. Yes.
Opal Song, in response to UANF. I'm so glad you like it! I was worried about putting you as co-author since I kinda just posted this without asking. Oh, to beg! Everything about this is amazing! Thoughts. 1. I do kinda want Yuri to live a little further from Victor physically, See above massive comment for why. 2. I'd kind of love if he was still, like, 1 to 2 years older than Yuri. So he's out of high school when he comes back later. But if you can make that work without aging him up, I am 1,000% down. Wait, maybe Otabek got his GED / whatever the equivalent is in Russia? Maybe? I kind of do want to see him as a police officer or soldier. Tell me your thoughts. I am stumped. 3. Building on your comment, Otabek's parents move away when Yuri is 10. They had a falling out with someone / were being investigated. And while they tell each other that they'll write, they are 10. That lasts for a couple of months, a year at the most. Otabek returns sometime between Yuri becoming mafia boss and Victor and Yuri's wedding. Otabek has thought of Yuri a lot over the intervening years. Yuri, sadly, not as much lately. He's got other things on his mind, okay? Opal Song, in a response to a comment about a Yuri on Ice crossover with Katekyo Hitman Reborn and setting it in this world or in a separate world. But here's the thing. When I first started this verse, I wanted a very bloody dark fic about people who are happy with that darkness. I wanted a fic where Yurio is mad that he has to hide in a high school and just wants to run his fucking family. He wants to take justice into his own hands, where he murders the boys that abused that younger student and the teachers that knew about it and displays their bodies in the school cafeteria to make a point, because this school is his territory and that student was his subordinate. I wanted a story where Otabek not only willfully but happily turned traitor on the police because Yurio smiled at him and asked. Where he enjoys killing the people that come for Yurio and blandly tells the police that he has learned nothing. I want the story where Yuri plays at being the bumbling heir to a local business when he is fucking terrifying. Where his family develops new and more potent drugs from rice or some shit growing in the mountains and control the local black market gun trade and run whorehouses. Their whores are the best and you better fucking treat them right. Where Yuri murders his opposition and tortures their underlings for info. I wanted a fic where Victor is a fucking sociopathic serial killer. He was shit at being heir because he was always getting distracted, or being too innovative, or just plain didn't care enough, but he fucking blossoms as Yuri's enforcer because Yuri points him in a direction and says, make her disappear, or get that info, or make an example out of him. And he can just go and do it. Yuri regularly fucks him when he is drenched in his victim's blood, and they both love it. I wanted a fic where the girls were too wild and willful for their families and started killing men within and without that talked shit about them or tried to assault them. I wanted fic where they are all gloriously, gorgeously, gorily happy while they live those lives. I don't know if KHR allows for that sort of story, but if yes, then it can only get better with a crossover. Opal Song's extra reader's notes. Okay, so having read all of the comments again, I think I really like Yakov as like police chief or whatever the person that Otabek reports to. But here's the thing. His ex-wife, oh my gosh, I forget her name, the ballerina, she is definitely the mistress of a mafia family. Or not mistress, she's definitely like the daughter of a mafia family, was like head matron at one point. And also Yakov's wife. They were married for a chunk while she was definitely involved in mafia business. And their story is one of blood and gore and betrayal and angst, because he was a police officer throughout it all and eventually chose to be a police officer, chose to get his justice that way as opposed to by murdering people with his own hands. Yakov, actually, I think, in this universe is probably the most lawfully optimistic of everyone. he's the only one who has decided that, you know what, I am going to trust the local government, trust the courts, do that to enact my revenge and that sort of thing. This does not mean that he isn't an absolutely, definitely corrupt cop, but it doesn't mean that he's less corrupt and slightly more morally upright than the rest of the characters. So I think Yurio, I mentioned at one point that Yurio was taught by Yakov and his wife. I think that's actually, I want to take that back. Because Yurio is trained by his grandfather, and his grandfather is one of those people that worked very closely with Yakov's wife. Oh my gosh, I really need to know her name. Anyway, and they worked closely together. And so Yurio is trained by this madam. And I think maybe she does run various brothels and all of that sort of thing that definitely never get shut down, because Yakov will never let them ever be reported. And yeah, so she is the one who trained Yurio, so he is extra deadly because he has had that training. Also, side note, I think she's the one who probably trained Mila as well, or at least she tried to train Mila and just... yeah, Mila wants to punch people. She doesn't want to seduce her way into places. Okay, so, I hope you've all at least read the comments on the thing, if not listened to the thing.
Oh, yes.
Because we're basically, exploring the thing, that UA and I created, and then I created more of, and UA created more of, and I recorded all of the comments for today, and was like, oh my gosh, how have I forgotten about this? This is amazing. Yeah, and we need to make more of it. Because I have a thirst.
The thirst is real.
Okay. You just mentioned that Yuri and Victor fucking, well, Victor is covered in blood.
Oh, yes.
We should go somewhere with Yuri covered in blood, and that as Victor washes him with his thong, the tattoos are revealed.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
Okay, also, can I just say, tattooed Yuri gives me life.
I know, right? I know.
If you wear lingerie, you can see the tattoos through the lace. This is good.
Yes, that is a mental image.
That is a thing.
Oh yeah, no, I was gonna... we should probably decide if you want to go, like, the sex stuff version, or continue to explore the blood core section, and not mix them as much. Even though that's fine.
Okay, so I am all about mixing the murder and sex. Really all about it.
Is everyone with this? Is everyone okay with this?
Yes.
Okay, so...
consent is good.
You know, they should, like, do the thing, that the mafia classic thing where they kill everybody in a room and just fuck on the cadaver? Like,
yes.
Right there. Honestly, in the mist.
Yeah.
No, I feel like they fuck on a table or on a couch. They don't fuck on the cadaver.
No, on the throne.
Okay, on the ground. But, like, cadavers are not structurally stable.
Well, that's adding to the fun.
All I'm getting is just this mix of, like, traditional mafia shootout and Kill Bill vibes with the swords in just this Japanese hostel with just this massive massacre and then just fucking on a glass floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I'm getting.
Yep.
Yeah, because here's the thing that I really, really love about Yuri and Victor in this AU is that, I don't know what, I think it was in a comment, Victor is a fucking psychopath in this AU, which to me makes him so much more interesting. He's just like he is really, really, really good at killing people.
But is he chaotic evil or good evil or, you know, like lawful evil?
I feel like Victor is...
I would go chaotic.
He doesn't have, like, I don't even know what it would be on the scale because, like, and he would be terrible at running a mafia thing. Like, he looks good on the outside, but he really doesn't have a moral compass. His moral compass is Yuri, because Yuri is where his loyalty is. So he's willing to do what the fuck ever for Yuri.
Yeah. And he basically met his moral compass a year ago. So before that, he had none.
Yeah, I think he was kind of going off his mom's. You know? Like, just kind of mama's boy following what they said.
Oh, gosh. What if, like... It was Kendall Yuri, Yuri, the small Yuri.
You can call him Yurio.
Yeah, I guess, Yurio. So, like, it was kind of Yurio, but basically it was like, well, just don't kill too much people when he's in the room, because he's a young person. Which was all of his moral compass right there, and that's it.
I was saying, just, you know, Yuri is 90% of Victor's self-control at any given time.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Okay, yes. Okay, and who was Victor's bodyguard?
He doesn't have one. He's too bloodthirsty.
But I'm just picturing someone who has to follow him around with shovel. And a bunch of paper towels.
Some wet wipes.
I feel like his bodyguard was the person who was trying to pull him back.
The bodyguard was the one cleaning up the bodies.
Yeah.
He was, like, he was the body... grave.
He was the bodyguard.
Yeah, but, like, he doesn't guard them, he buries them. What, do you have a name for that in English?
Oh, he guards the bodies. He guards them in a graveyard.
Yeah, he's a groundskeeper, but for graves. Do you have a word for that in English? I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm making terrible puns. I don't think... like, the person who cleans up after, like, if there's been a murder or whatever, the person who goes and is like, oh, I'll make it so it looks like it never happened, I think that person is called a cleaner.
Okay, so you have a cleaner.
Yeah, he had a cleaner. He didn't so much have a bodyguard.
I think as well, Victor would try to, like, skip any bodyguards that they tried to force on him.
Oh, yeah. I feel like he murdered a bunch of them.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
They had it coming.
Yeah, or even if they didn't.
Okay, the thing is, I think Victor, if he wanted to be that bloodthirsty, wouldn't kill, per se. He would disfigure and maim. And, you know, like, he would keep them alive.
Possibly, yeah.
Possibly not happy to be alive.
Definitely not happy to be alive. I just kind of feel like this Victor would not think ahead. Like, he's all about personal gratification and instant gratification. And that gratification comes from killing people. And it's only when he meets Yuri that he learns that, no, maybe you should, you know, think about who you're killing and why you're killing and whatever. And Victor is like, fuck no, I don't want to do that. You do that and just point me in the direction.
I think it's all very spur of the moment with Victor. It's very, like, instantaneous. It's kind of, he lives in the moment.
Yeah, he doesn't plan out. Hmm?
Yeah, big VM time.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I don't know, like, if someone insults me, is it more satisfying to kill them or to cut out their tongue? Like, I feel it would be much more satisfying just to cut out their tongue and watch them gurgle in the blood, right?
Nah, pull the fingernails out.
I see. I was going to say stab him through the throat.
Yeah, I was also
under that. Like, it's like, if they insult me, I don't even want them around anymore. I don't care if they suffer. I just want them gone from my life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's stop talking about me.
Okay, so we're not talking about fucking in blood.
Well, okay, so Yuri and Victor, mm-hmm. like, let's focus on them for now. And, oh, they're great. Because, you know, Victor, like, because they can do the adorable boyfriends mm-hmm. thing, right? Like, they do it super well. And they genuinely mean it.
But is it, like, a very DS type of relationship? That's the thing. Like, is Victor...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but I'm not surprised that came out of my mouth.
Because I would absolutely go that way. Like, I would see... Like, one of you said that Yuri's was Victor 90%.
Of his self-control, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So, can you just see Yuri slightly nodding or, you know, like, doing the finger thing and Victor just being unleashed? Like, on command as a dog. And...
Yup.
Yes.
Yup.
Yup. This is great. Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot of how I see their relationship, honestly.
So I think they would just act that way, like, outside too, and people would think it's cutesy because Victor is just holding his bags and opening his door. And, you know, they seem so connected. And basically, they're very happily leashed together.
Yep.
Yeah, and yep. They would not have wedding rings, they would have a collar. Let's be real.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly a cock ring, mostly a neck collar, whichever.
Not a cock ring, though. A chastity cage.
Yes, I was about to say.
I mean, also a cock ring.
Sure.
But, sure. Like, you know.
I haven't explored my chastity kink yet, so. Because I feel like Victor would be so, I don't know, demisexual about it. But, I mean, it's part of the deal. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not so much that Victor would have sex with anyone else, so much that he knows he can't.
Yeah, he relinquished that power anyway.
Exactly, like... He wouldn't anyway, but the fact is that Yuri now gets to decide when he can get hard or not.
Oh, and like, when I explored fix about this, like, a part of it often is that the person holding the key will titillate and just stimulate the other person, knowing that he cannot, like, get hard or that it will be helpful for them. So, if Victor enjoys killing, it could be part of the thing, you know?
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking that. Like, his thing for killing probably has at least slight sexual elements to it.
Yeah, possibly.
I feel like it's more the violence than the actual killing people, if we don't want to get too, like, ugh. Gross about it.
Well, we're it's really, we're talking about serial killers just having sex and pools of blood. Like, but, you know, getting off from
like,
it is really...
Like, there's creepy, ugh, and then there's violent, ugh. And at least for me, there's a separate distinction between getting off on, like, killing people, and that leads to, like, stalking and killing rando girls, and... Like, violent, getting off on violence, which could be solved, I don't know, other ways.
Sure.
Ends up killing rando people. Like, it's... Anyway.
Yeah. I think we'll respect whichever barrier we have, because we have so much to explore anyway.
I feel like it's a... Oh, that's what it is. It's the... He gets off on the violence and or killing, not on the victims that he is making.
Oh, okay. I like that. Yeah.
If that makes
that
sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that explains... Yeah.
Okay.
So
anyway, which means that he can't, like, get off to his violence unless Yuri lets him.
Yeah. Depending on the cage, it can lead to water sports too,
I am like 1000% not into that.
Okay.
So I would
then whatever.
Ask that we don't go in that direction.
Cool. So does he like tease him for days before he unlocks the cage, or just, I don't know.
Oh man, sorry. Okay, scenario time. Victor and Yuri have been playing around, yes, for days. Yuri's been teasing him with various things, you know, fucking him over various tables while he makes conference calls and that sort of thing.
Oh, yes.
As you do.
And then Yuri needs someone murdered. And Victor is like, I am at the end of my rope. And now you're going to make me, like, murder someone? Yuri, please! And Yuri's like, nope, go murder this person. And Victor is like, welp, I do love me a murder. And goes and murders the people, but is actually kind of miserably aroused this entire time.
Oh.
Because violence, and he's been teased for days and hasn't gotten off, and, like, just blue balls, all of the blue balls, and just, like, really, really is on edge. And the killing people is not helping because this is, like, you know, an arousal trigger for him. And after that, he comes back to Yuri and is just, like, miserable. And then finally, after he services Yuri lets him get off.
Okay. Yes to everything. Also, what if Yuri, like, kind of knows that he's being a bit mean to his dog? So he just casually follows Victor when he goes to the killing point and just waits for him at the door. You know, like, it's an hangar where there was, like, a meetup of mafia boys, whatever. Victor comes out, stands over them panting, and goes like, Jesus Christ, I need to wank, but I can't. And
possibly even, like, tries to rub himself a little bit.
Oh, yes. And Yuri's all like, come over here. And just, you know, rewards his lawful dog for service well rendered by allowing his dog to blow him off, and then they can fuck against the wall.
Yup.
Approved.
Yup. The only thing I would change about that is where Yuri is waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Just because waiting right outside the door, as much as I really, really, really love that scenario, does not seem very safe when there's a mafia hit going down. And Yuri wants to be, you know, separate from this mafia hit. He doesn't want to be implicated. So maybe he's waiting a little bit, like, in a car around the corner or something.
Yes. He's at the ice cream shop down the road.
Oh my gosh. They're legit, like, in an ice cream shop down the road.
Oh, God.
Or something. Or, like, tiny local restaurant.
Yes! Cute!
And Victor has to wait through dinner.
No. Wait.
Oh, my God.
Wait, well, this point, Victor is really miserable, right? I think they should, like, meet in the really cute shop. And Victor is like, okay, but, like, I have blood all over my hands. So they very casually go into the tiny bathroom of this very cute little local shop of ice cream. And then they fuck like bunnies in the tiny bathroom and make no noises because they love this place and want to come back. And
oh, yeah.
There's this, like, blood princess.
Oh, yes.
And then they have to call the cleaner anyway so that the cleaner just cleans the walls of this tiny shop without anyone noticing.
And Victor has to stay utterly silent,
yes,
even though he's finally getting the relief that he has been craving for days.
Yes. And then after that, they can just sit at a table like nothing happened and play like footsies under the table. That
and meanwhile,
eating ice
you know,
cream.
While they're in the bathroom, you know, the little couple that owns this ice cream store are just like, oh, I'm so glad that they're coming out for date night. How cute is that?
Oh.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Because they're known at this shop as the cute local boy who's the bumbling heir to this local onsen and his foreign boyfriend, and they're adorable.
Yes. Oh, I love everything.
I think that's the greatest bit, too, is that everybody just thinks that they're this adorable, like, lovey-dovey little couple.
Yeah.
Yep. And underneath, tattoos and blood and violence.
Yes. Oh, that's such a good mix.
Okay, but I was thinking of this earlier, with the whole bodyguard and thing. So where does Yako fit into all of this?
Okay, sorry. I had this idea when I was recording all the comments that I am super into right now. Oh my gosh. Okay, so Yakov is Otabek's handler.
Oh, no!
So here's the thing that I came up with while I was recording the comments, which was amazing because somebody described, like, Otabek reporting to this, like, grizzled, like, alcoholic, like, police chief or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's Yakov. So, okay, first off, what is Yakov's ex-wife name? The
ballerina?
Lilia.
Lilia?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, so Yakov has been a police officer for years. He's, like, lifer police officer, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And he's been on organized crime in Russia also for years and in this same precinct. During this time, he has married Lilia, who is like top level mafia queen type deal.
Oh, absolutely.
She was the daughter of some like mafia boss.
Mm-hmm.
Is she a spy? Does he know?
What?
Does he know?
Oh, see, I was getting to that. Yes, he totally knows. And she knows that he's a police officer. Theirs was a very star-crossed romance.
Aw.
Oh, God, it would have been.
I know, right? And they broke up, but they're still, like, good friends. Even though he's now police chief of the area, and she's still, like, mafia queen.
Mm-hmm.
This leads into, instead of, I had, like, a comment about, like, Yurio's grandpa, you know, and his friends Yakov and Lilia training Yuri.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's just Lilia that trains Yurio into being the most deadly person ever. Which,
yes,
I'm sorry, I'm super into that.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
Just, like, it's so good for me.
You know, honestly, Lilia is the bomb. She's just one prima ballerina to, like, relates really well to then being, like, heiress assassin.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And imagine Yurio being trained by this heiress assassin to be the best mafia boss ever. Like, sorry, it kind of melts my mind.
No, it's okay.
But Yakov is this police chief, and he's in this morally gray, ultra gray zone right now because he is definitely 100% a corrupt cop. Like, completely. But at the same time, he's like the most morally righteous of all of these characters because he has at least decided, I'm going to let the courts and the justice system handle this shit for the most part. I'm just going to kind of look the other way. And so he becomes Otabek's handler, and he totally knows that Otabek falls in love with Yurio. Like, 100%, he is aware that this happened, and he just kind of sits down Otabek at one point for a super off-the-record talk, and is just like, look, if you can keep getting me information that is true and promise to never, ever, ever lie to me, I do not care what the fuck you do.
He set them up. He knew.
I don't think he set them up.
I think he did. I think he knew that Otabek had a neighbor and that he knew Yurio and that theirs were a deeper bond than it seemed. And he just tried his hand. It was like, I'm going to have an inside man. And worst case, I'm going to have a really good inside man.
Okay. Yeah, he could know that.
I'm down for that. But at the same time, he's also very aware that Lilia probably knows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So in the event that his inside man breaks Yurio's heart, He is not going to get out of that.
Oh, yeah, he's fucked in that case.
He's so fucked. So he's very careful with what he's like, I don't care what you do. You like that, do the thing. But just do your job and I'll be happy.
You have two rules, Otabek. You have two rules. One, never lie to me. Two, never break Yurio's heart.
I thought you were going to, like, use a condom.
Oh.
Tell the rule.
And also, can Otabek would be so confused. Just, I mean.
Oh, he totally gets this. Okay, so Yakov doesn't call him Yurio. He calls him something like the
boss.
Like, the new,
Lion something.
Yeah, the new Scion or something. And he gives him this talk before he goes in. And so Otabek is like, what? Like, I don't think I'll be getting that close. And also, why would I lie to you?
What the fuck?
And then he meets Yurio and it all becomes clear.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question for people.
Wait. Okay. Yeah, go. Because I have a scenario that I was thinking about when washing the dishes and I want to hunt it. And it's about Otabek and Yurio.
Okay, because my question was going to be, we have lots of character beat moments, but we don't actually have a plot.
Oh no, this is a plot.
True.
This is a plot. Like, these are all the, like, little moments in life where they met and shit. We don't need a, like, overarching...
Oh, you're making it a slice of life fic.
Yes, because it's cute.
I'm just going to come in here with a possible plot idea or a possible, like, direction.
Okay, Kane?
Yeah?
Can we wait for one moment and let Yue do her...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
...scenario?
Yes.
And then we'll go on to the plot thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so I was thinking, like, I think I covered in the comments how young Yurio and young Otabek met. And then we know that they met again later. But there's, like, a gap between them. So I wanted to have, like, the Shonenai Dao Shinji extra bit where they're, like, teenagers and they meet again for the first time.
Except...
Yeah?
Can I just... I really want them to meet when Yurio is already, like, mafia boss.
Yeah. Yeah, but these mafia boss are 16.
Yes.
Okay.
And can Otabek be 18?
Yeah, I was going to go out Tabek is 18 or 19.
Okay, perfect.
So he's like, you know, wet behind the heel, fresh policeman, and he's like mysteriously into this really heavy case, and he doesn't know why, which I think is why Yakov set it up, but maybe not.
Oh, Yakov requested him specifically!
Yes, because he's totally Yurio's type. Like,
okay.
And then he gets the talk from Yakov, and like, what the fuck? Okay, whatever. And then he goes in and he's like kind of really nervous about this, but also really determined to get it right? And he has to do the whole ceremony where he meets like small boss, bigger boss, bigger boss, bigger boss. And then at one point he has to kneel before the big boss. So he's kneeling before the big boss with the head down and everything while the big boss sits on his big chair. And then they slowly look up. And I want Yurio to make a comment. Like, some slightly suggestive, but also, like, an inside joke about them. Because he's like, oh, shit, I think I know this boy. And Otabek raises his head, is like, oh, fucking hell. And, like, you know, face drain, everything, oh, my God, fuck, right?
Yup.
But they are in a room full of people who are waiting to see, like, what this new guy has to offer to the cool king. And Otabek cannot fuck up. And Yurio is like, okay, so something is going on. Because, like, they gave me background on this guy. And the background is that his father's and, like, he's an orphan. But I grew up with this babe. And he's not an orphan, right? So he's like, wait, so something is up. So they're all playing a game. And, like, okay, so something happens, and I don't know what. But at first, I just need Yurio to make sure that it is Otabek. So he needs him to casually somehow strip, and then he will see the faint scar that is still there from the time that Yurio saved him when he was like 5 years old on his shoulder or something. And I was really like, okay, so I don't know the scenario for the shirt removal. Could be something really like just, oh yeah, you're my type, remove your shirt, you're gonna be my boy toy. And everyone is like, woot, 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 woot.
I just feel like he doesn't even say that. He's just in his very Yurio way, like just, strip for me.
Yes.
And he's like 16, and everybody is there in there is like, oh.
Yeah. And I think it's a really good cover, because if they just assume that Yurio is like horny, and like, okay, I'm gonna fuck this boy.
He's a 16-year-old boy.
Yeah.
You know?
Which
and I
fair.
Feel like maybe he's never really shown interest in people. Like, people have been parading their mafia daughters past him.
Mm-hmm.
And mafia sons past him. And he's just, like, zero interest. And then this rando comes in and he's like, you. And they're like, oh, fucking finally his hormones have kicked in.
Mila just like, oh, God, thank God.
Or maybe, like, you know, he can always play cool and be like, oh, I think you would be my bodyguard. Strip so I can see your muscles. And I will judge if you seem fit enough to be my bodyguard. But everyone whispers to themselves, he's gonna fuck that boy, he's gonna fuck him so hard, you know?
Oh my gosh, that makes it even better. If Yurio didn't mean it like that, then everybody just takes it as he's super horny.
Yep, yep. So anyway, I won this. Oh, but you know, I had like a side plot thing in my head. I was like, okay, but what if Yurio's not that good? And Yurio's like, fuck, I need a reason to like see you. Him naked. I will invent something like, oh, he looked at me wrong. Let's whip him publicly in front of everybody. Just like 2 lashes for my enjoyment. And they
oh
do
my
it.
Gosh.
And he just looks at the scar, but we all go, You know, like, and it's just, it's kind of a punishment for lying to me. It's like a spanking,
okay.
But mafia style. So anyway,
okay.
Okay,
can I?
Yeah, okay, so I'm done.
Okay, so, oh my gosh. First off, ah!
Exactly.
secondly, what if he is like, okay, strip, and everybody's like, oh no, boss is horny. Like, why are his hormones kicking in now? For this dude,
mm-hmm.
Why? Because we don't know this dude from dick all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's some newbie. He's not, like, some rando, like somebody's, like, mafia daughter or mafia son, and he totally can't be the boss's bodyguard because that's a high-level position, and, like everybody's like, fuck no. So they stop him from being, so they stop Otebek from stripping. Because they're like, oh, no, you, no. And they just sort of shuffle him away. And so Yurio's like, well, fuck. And then he does have to do the whole, like, you know, public lashing thing, which, yeah, is totally a, you shithead, you lied to me, and you stopped writing me letters. Like, this is totally that sort of thing. And also, Otebek totally gets off on the pain.
Really does. Oh my god, does that mean that Yurio is holding the whip? Or is he watching? I like both.
I know!
Honestly, I like both, but I think with the whole, like, Eyes of a Soldier thing, it'd be more like Yurio sitting there watching and, like, in front of Otebek while he's getting whipped.
Oh, yes!
Because maybe the scar is on the front of his chest.
Okay, yeah. 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 And Otebek, like, is trying to keep his face the most neutral, which people think is badass. But really, he's like, I'm so hard right now. I cannot let it pass. And Yurio really, really knows. He's like, I see.
Yurio and Otebek just locked eyes the whole time.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That intense stare.
Yes.
And I feel like the people who were like, no, we have to separate these two. And then they were like, yes, he's going to have him whipped. And now they're like, oh, shit, this backfired. We should have just let him strip to begin with.
Georgie just like, oh, God, what have I done?
Well, I mean, that's the crack version. But I think there could be like a serious version where most people just assume that this is a totally normal thing. And like some people whisper that, nah, they're fucking. And I was like, shh, don't you dare say that about our boss. Like, well, the old boss was fucking, guys. This one is too. Don't you see a fucking trend?
Well, the old boss I don't think was fucking dudes. He was just a shit lord.
I mean, Victor.
Yeah. Victor was just a shit lord.
Oh, no, I was talking about their dad.
Okay, no, he was a shit lord.
Oh, yeah, no, he was a shit lord.
Like Victor. Oh, Victor.
Oh, Victor.
Victor has conquests.
Victor has a lot of conquests.
I mean, we have Chris. Chris is somewhere in here, right?
Oh, we totally don't have a place for Chris.
This is how we can bring in, like, the world's criminal network.
Dude! Sorry! Chris was Victor's bodyguard!
Oh my god, dude.
Yes! Well, I mean, cleaner.
Bodyguard and cleaner. He was the only one who was able to keep up with Victor.
Yes! Oh god.
Yeah.
And they were fucking like bunnies.
They totally were. But also Chris is cool with him and Yuri now.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's...
Though he definitely does go to visit and they use him most brutally.
Oh no, well, I think Yuri would use Chris to brutalize Victor. He would use Chris as a toy on Victor. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, like objectify and just, oh yeah, yes. Because I don't think that...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, maybe not. Maybe
I also feel like... Go for it.
Oh, I was going to say, like, maybe no. Maybe it's like, okay, well, Victor. Like, no, okay. I was going to go, like, since we're in such a semi-UK thing, I was like, well, it's your time to top. You can top this dog. But I'm like, yeah, no, the switching, because Yuri is a power bottom and a power top all the way, like.
Yeah, Yuri wears the pants in that relationship.
You're not wrong.
I was thinking, see, because if Chris and Victor were fucking all the way through, which they totally were, and Victor has, like, a thing for violence,
mm-hmm.
Chris probably has a thing for pain. Which means, like, he and, like when he comes to visit Yuri and Victor, like, Victor is never gonna hurt Yuri, mm-hmm. especially not sexually. Like, that's just not their relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
He gets done to in their relationship. Whatever is happening, it's happening to him by Yuri.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just how their relationship goes. But now suddenly Chris is here and he can kind of show Yuri what he's capable of.
Yeah, and just explore this kink he hasn't been able to, like, he's, you know, maybe he's, yeah.
He shows off.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He shows off and like, this is not a kink that is missing from his life now. Like, it's not like he's pining for it or anything, but... You know, the opportunity arises and Yuri's down and Chris is down and, you know, consensual, violent sex happens.
Yeah, but that's how kinks go.
Chris is way, way down.
So do we want to go into what he does to Chris in front of Yuri or to Yuri? Or do we, like, take it for granted and try to find place for other characters too? Because I want to see, like, should we have the aftermath of the whipping? I don't know.
Oh, yes, in the...
Health comfort. Mostly health.
Oh, the comfort. Yeah, because I feel like Yuri and Otabek are... They definitely have their comfort.
They have to talk.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
And if
oh,
it
yeah.
happens that they talk while they're like, Yurio is stroking the lashes because he's a little cunt, I would like it. And I mean that in really positive way. Like...
I think they don't get to talk seriously for quite a while. It's just all sort of like half muttered sentences that don't have any, like, that have only half meanings and buried like code messages from their childhoods and stuff, because Otabek is still new and he's still not allowed to be around Yuri by himself. So they can't just, like, talk. And Otebek really, really, really wants to confess that he is a double agent. Like, that he's undercover.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't, because if anyone except for Yuri hears, he's probably just gonna be axed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know? So it's all very tense and not miscommunication, but just they can't communicate.
Ships in the dark, like, you know, they keep, sometimes they run into each other in a corridor and they exchange side glances that mean things. Or, like, their fingers brush over a table accidentally.
Yeah, and there's, like, are so they
passing
can't...
notes?
Passing notes?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about this, but I don't think they could pass notes, but maybe they could talk through, like, a really thin wall. You know what I mean? Like, they just happens to both, like, stand outside or near a window because one of them is smoking and the other is just leaning there. And they're like, hey, hey, you know, if you, like, I don't know what game you're playing, but if you fuck me up, I'm going to have you killed. Oh, okay, no, I'm yours. Okay, okay then. You know, like, really short things that establish the basics.
Yeah, and code words from their childhood, that sort of thing. Like, lots of references to, you know, saving from bullies and that sort of thing.
Yes, yeah. and they cannot really talk. But, you know, like, in your version, you had them riding to school on Otabek's motorcycle.
Oh my gosh. That happens just slightly later when he's, like, officially Yurio's bodyguard.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, they don't really need to communicate because the way that Yurio hugs him and holds on to him means everything.
Oh, yeah.
But also, you know that first conversation was like, if you fuck me, I'm going to slit your throat. Don't worry, I'm yours. And Yurio is just like, yeah.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
I feel like, okay, externally, because I like my darkness with an undercurrent of crack. or a sprinkling of crack. That's a better way to do it.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I feel like Yurio in his head, like when Otebek says, I'm yours, it's just like shoujo sparkles explode everywhere.
Yes.
And then it's like ultra trying to keep it cool. Like, of course you are. Of course you are. Like, I'm a cool mafia boss and you just didn't like totally overwhelm me with your absolute love declaration. Like, I'm cool.
Just suddenly Doki Dokis.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so like, Otebek is saying that, like, smoking and being cool. And Yurio is just, like, nodding and then depart. And then Yurio goes screaming to his pillow. And Otebek just dies on the floor.
Yes, because they're also both teenagers. And yes, teenagers are shit human beings.
Yes.
Fact.
Yes. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
And
oh,
then,
that's
like,
so great.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
I mean, then they go murder people together.
Oh. Bonding.
And I feel like that's how Otebek proves his worthiness or whatever. He murders somebody for Yurio.
He protects Yurio. No, get between him.
It's an assassination attempt.
Yeah, he thwarts an assassination attempt, and it's all really gory and bloody and...
Oh, wait. Oh. Because on one side, we have to remember that if Otebek is undercover and really young, he doesn't know how to kill somebody. So I want Yurio to teach him, for one thing. Second...
Okay.
Wait,
so this is his first kill?
Yes.
This assassination, thwarted assassination attempt is... his first actual human kill.
Yeah.
That he has ever done.
Yeah.
And, like, he just kind of feels satisfied inside that Yurio is not harmed at all. He feels slightly guilty, but only about the blood splatter that got onto Yurio. Like, that he
ruined his jacket.
Yeah, ruined his jacket and that he got some in his hair.
Can he
inconvenience him for later.
Can I draw up, like, a manga page? Okay, so, like, there's a showdown, and then somebody comes up and tries to kill Yurio with a knife or something, and Otebek puts himself between Yurio and the attacker, and then, of course, gets stabbed in the shoulder, which doesn't hit anything important, but has lots of blood, and then he viciously but thoroughly just kills the guy right there, right between the eyes, fuck this, drop dead. And then afterward, like...
Oh, does he shoot him right between the eyes?
Yes. Because he's a cop and he learned to shoot.
Yes! Sorry, continue.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And then they're sitting, like, you know, later he's back in his room and being a bit of, kind of slightly shaken. So Yo-Yo comes up, like, really secretly in a hoodie. No one can know me. Everyone knows it's him. He's stupid. It's a fucking tiger hoodie. But anyway...
I love the thought of Yurio going undercover in tiger hoodies, and it's like everyone knows it's you, Yurio.
And he's not fooling anybody, but everybody in the mafia pretends to be fooled.
Yes. They just, yeah, okay. And then they have the talk thing.
Basically, I will say this only once.
I'm sorry?
Listen very carefully. I will say this only once. Am I the only one that grew up watching Hello, Hello?
Oh!
Wait.
Oh, okay, that makes so much sense.
I'm definitely feeling Captain America right now. I do not get that reference.
I wanted to have, like, scene afterward where, like, you know, so Yo-Yo comes into undercover, into the room, and is like, Otabek, strip, which is a thing for them. He just asks him to strip all the fucking time. So Otabek does. And basically, it's because Yo-Yo wants to check out his shoulder one, right? Oh. And then he's, like, you know, like, hiding his face into the wounded shoulder because he's a shit ass. And, like, oh, I'm, like, you got hurt for me. And, like, well, I'm sorry, you got blood on your shirt. And then they're stupid together, and they just smile at each other. And they do not fuck. Because they don't fuck for, like, years. And everyone thinks they've been fucking all this time.
But they take, like, a slow, like, tension-filled romance.
Yeah, yeah, no, this is a UST. It's really heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, they have all the UST.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, and after that, Otabek becomes Yurio's bodyguard.
Yes.
But he doesn't really know how to kill people like Yurio does. And so Yurio definitely teaches him how to kill people.
That is so great. And
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Kane.
Okay. Now, there are two things. I've been, like, in my notes app typing things out for plot.
Oh, good.
But two, where is Petite?
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
I think
Let's go. Just
before we get into plot.
I feel like Petite needs to be attached to Yuri and Victor's storyline, not to Yurio's storyline.
Well, Yuri's past.
Because he's over in Asia.
He was Yuri's sub before.
Oh.
Or maybe it was a drug supplier. Because I think he would be on
maybe
good drugs.
Same student.
Yes?
Drugs seems like more of like a petite deal. But I don't know.
But because of the hamster scene, I think he's on good ones. You know?
I would do Petite as, like, lord of a drug empire.
And
honestly,
he could teach Yuri how to be really, like, unobtrusive and look really cute and really nice while being a really terrible human being.
I had a thought.
Yeah?
Yeah. Petite, he's not Japanese,
mm-hmm.
but he would get around about the new boss. Perhaps if the family he's from decides that, oh, there's an exchange student program coming up, we should send him over to spy.
Would that even work one day?
I mean, the other thing about that...
It would be a hilarious file.
It would be.
And,
God.
Yeah, but they're the come friends anyway.
Yes. Well, fuck friends too.
Well, there's either that or, like... Petite as, like, with, not like the leader of a drug, like, okay, Celestina as, like, the leader of this international drug cartel. And Petite being sent, he's kind of gets sent all over the place as, like, a liaison. And he gets sent to Japan, and Yuri takes a liking to him. And so Celestino is like, well, now I've gotten in. And so he kind of is sent to Japan on and off all the time. And low-key, Petite is, like, the sweetest darling. And, you know, externally he's all happy and sweet and cute. And then, like, internally he's like, okay, but he's very sharp. He's really got that sense of, okay, he knows kind of what everyone's doing. He's got a really good, like, sense for the scene.
Mm-hmm.
He is definitely that guy who knows all of your deepest, darkest secrets.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would also see him, like, drugs and also blackmail.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yes.
He would do blackmail.
He has pictures of everyone.
Oh, my
everyone.
God, yes.
And I think maybe that's how he gets to know Yuri. Because he gets a picture or knows, gets some evidence or something that Yuri is not the sweet hometown boy.
Oh my goodness.
And then Yuri just like he tries to blackmail Yuri. And if we want to go the sexual route before Victor, Yuri seduces him in return.
Oh. And then they both keep pictures of each other as blackmail, but really it's just as a BFF thing.
Yeah, like this starts out as this, like, toxic as fuck relationship with, like, blackmail and seduction and,
mm-hmm.
like, blackmail back and just, like, this whole thing. And then they end up being, like, ultra BFFs. And, like, Yuri, like, emails Peachy or texts him and is like, so Peachy, which tie should I wear? I have a meeting with, like, code name for a Yakuza person that he doesn't like. And Peachy is like, I think you should wear the purple tie because it will go well with the decor when you leave.
Okay, but honestly, I'm just imagining the conversation of, remember that time that you tried to blackmail me, and then this happened, and then, like, you pulled a knife? Do you remember that? And it's like, yeah, that good times.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, yes. when Victor is around, like, so after Yuri and Victor get together, like, Yuri and Peachy have been long since not an actual, like, sexual item. And not in a relationship. So Yuri and Victor are together. And then Peachy comes for a visit. And Victor just spends the entire time going like, what the fuck is going on?
Yes.
Who is this guy? Can I murder him?
No.
No? I don't understand.
I really want them to have like this story. They were schoolboys together. And people thought they were friends. But basically like they kept like leaning into each other to say like, I'm gonna poison you. And like, when they were actually just snuggling, basically they had, like, a knife on each other's ribs and stuff like this. But progressively it just evolved into them, like, trying to strangle each other but ending up watching a movie together on the couch. And then it just, they have so many stories where they started off trying to kill each other or, like, insult each other and just ends up being really good friends about it. Also, I think that since both of them also have the violence thing, they really quickly discover that this gets sexual really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Also, just with Victor there as well, like, he's like, what the fuck is going on? Because, like, they'll be teasing each other and they'll just be having a good time and Pichit will say something really innocuous and then Yuri's just like, I'm going to stab you in the neck.
And he says it in that tone, like Victor's like, wait, was that an order?
No, yeah, and then Pichit's just like, oh, try it. Yeah, you'll get a knife through the spleen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Victor is just like hyper tense through the entire first visit of Pichit's,
mm-hmm.
because he's like, is this man a threat?
Yeah.
And also, is Yuri constantly telling me to murder him, but not giving me the actual green light go-ahead? Like, Like, it's this whole giant mixed signals, like, mess.
Oh, and I can see, like, I think that Pichet is kind of a, could be, like, a really happy little shit. So he really sees that he's making Victor uncomfortable, and he just plays with it.
Oh, he leans into it.
Oh, he's so weird.
Like, he will casually let slip or, like, let it show that he has two knives strapped to his wrist. And then he will, like, casually and, like, remove or just push aside his jacket and he has, like, two guns there. And Victor is like,
oh, what the fuck? Pichet, you fucker!
Yes.
Okay, but Pichet is that kind of person who has, like, one of those ladies' guns strapped to his, like, ankle, and then, like, two knives on his person, and then, like, a handgun.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, but, like, you can't see it at all. And he's really, like, skinny and innocuous, and then he's just, like, shifts and put his arm on the back of a chair, and then just gun.
Yes!
And he's super bouncy. So bouncy. Mm-hmm.
I think he would have, like, armor of poison on him, too, because of the drug thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, definitely.
He has a Garrett wire somewhere.
As a parting gift for Yuri, he leaves him, like, some aphrodisiacs
to use on Victor. Oh, no, it's worse than that. Because remember, these are all shit-tastic people, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They're terrible people in love, I think was my subtitle summary. No, he doesn't leave him aphrodisiacs.
He just slips them.
He roofies Victor like fuck.
Yes.
Oh shit, yeah.
And then leaves with a wink.
And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, Yuri, I left you a present in your room. And Yuri's like, I haven't seen Victor in a while. Oh shit! Pichet! I'm gonna
And Pichet just like wink wonk.
Yes. Oh god, that's
perfect. He texts him like something like, I am going to murder your whole family.
And of course, he took a picture before he left.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Picture of Victor drugged out and strung out on Yuri's bed.
Yep. Drooling and moaning. And, like, maybe he took a video so that they would catch the sounds he's making.
Yep. Pichet is thorough.
Yeah.
Pichet is extremely thorough.
I think he owns the dark web or something.
Probably.
I would not be surprised.
I feel like no one is surprised. I feel like, again, sprinkle of crack, Yuri finds out that Pichet owns the dark web and is like, yeah, not surprised at all. Not at all.
Or maybe he just aims to, like, that is his aspiration. He wants to own the dark web and is slowly getting there. Like, that's, you know, that's his dream. Like, his happy, starry-eyed dream. I want to own the dark web. And you're like,
And everybody's like, Pichet. Like, okay.
Actually, you can.
You do you, Pichet.
Yes. That's great. Okay, which side character have we not done yet? Like,
Kane, did you have, like, further notes, you had a plot stuff?
Yes, I did. Okay, so...
You have actual plot! What is this?
Yes. Okay. So, basically, we have the Yakuza and we have the Mafia in Russia. And they're the two, well, they're two of the major players, right?
Yeah.
And basically, Victor, he doesn't think much. but he ends up in Japan because he's meant to be there on some kind of business.
Reasons.
Because reasons.
I think that's what we said. I think that's what we said the first time. He's there because reasons.
He's there because reasons. But basically, those reasons end up sort of star-crossed aligning with something that Yuri is going to do. And Victor ends up being witness to something. To something that Yuri does, to something that gets very bloody that Yuri does. And he kind of gets this, like, sort of, like, trying to attribute it part to canon, but not really, but, like, gets this starry-eyed, oh my god, he is beautiful covered in blood. Like, oh my god. He kills so nice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And it just gets that, like, oh my god moment. So Victor's like a puppy, basically.
He's like, you, I want you to be my new master.
Pretty much. Victor, Victor wouldn't know, because nobody knows that Yuri is this mafia boss, right? But he basically, I just pictured Victor, again, same court of sight kind of thing, showing up at the onsen and being kind of like, hi.
Take me now.
Pretty much.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so it devolves into that. But the whole thing is, he basically shirks every responsibility that he had, because, and then that's how he kind of ends up not being the boss anymore. Because he technically runs to Japan, and they're like, betrayal! And he's like, why you mad?
Why are you mad? I'm just like, you mad, bro? Fucking Victor.
Because, yeah, I just think that him, because he was, you know, same kind of deal, like, he was still sort of doing the boss stuff, but he was not content with it because he wasn't getting to do what he wanted. And there was all this, like espionage and all this other stuff, and he just wants to kill things, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't want the administrative work.
No.
Exactly. He was a shit administrator.
Yep.
He was.
Like, bad mode.
Paperwork sucks. You get paper cuts that way.
So he just sort of ends up kind of finding Yuri, and stuff happens, and he ends up over there. So that's how the kind of shift goes, because they all find out, basically Russia sort of loses contact with him, and then they find out that he's essentially betrayed, but not really betrayed, because he just followed his dick to Japan.
Yup!
Yeah.
Yup.
And that also makes sense as to why Yuri would be, as I mean, it can add another element, because Yuri's so mad as well, because it's like, what the fuck? You were meant, you're like, what? Why? Why?
Yeah, I feel like Yurio, like, because here's the thing. I think everybody in Russia knows that Victor is a flake.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh, Victor. So they were all a little bit worried when he was going to become mafia boss, because eventually he was going to snap and murder the wrong person just because he felt like it and was annoyed that day. And then they were all going to have to deal with it and clean up after it. And the moms were like, okay, we can handle him. This will be fine. But yeah. But now he like has fallen in love in Japan. And they're like, well, okay then. You haven't given away any secrets, so you're still ours, but you're also Yuri's. So, you know, eventually he comes back and it's like, shotgun wedding!
Yes!
Okay, if we go plot-wise, I think the plot could be that it starts off with the disappearance of Victor and no one knows what happened. He just fucked off. So Yuri is there de facto, but he's not actually the king, but he's pissed as fuck. So he wants to find Victor, and then they do find him, and he's happily, like, half-married across the country. And then Victor, like, officially gives him the title, and then they have the wedding.
Okay, so he gives him the title, like in canon, Yurio flies to Japan himself.
Yes.
Because he is that kind of fucker.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Like, flies to Japan himself and is just like, Victor, what the fuck? And finds this whole thing here, like, Victor and Yuri and whatever. And he's like, why the fuck are you in love with this fucking fluff ball of a human being? Like, I don't understand. And then they murder some people together and then it's all good. He understands.
Yeah.
And Victor is like, yeah, no, you can be boss. That's cool. I'm staying here. Like this is good for me. I'm down. Like you go be boss. That's fine. And Yurio's like, fuck.
Okay, I have a plot twist. What if Yurio like he spends all expenses, trying to find Victor and what happened? Because like half the people think it's just finally somebody killed him. and the other thinks that he is undercover on a bigger mission or whatever. Like, they have no clue what's happening. And Yuryo ends up knowing what, like, has an inkling because Otabek learns through his police work.
Except that Otabek isn't around now.
Yeah, because it's... Oh, well, no, I thought, like, because that was, like, there was a few years where Yuryo was boss, but he was boss in interim. Because, like, he was boss in absentia. Because Victor is gone, and, like, most people assume he's dead, but they don't know yet. So he's kingdom boss, but kingdom not, you know?
Oh, okay, so the reason that Yuryo goes to Japan is because, like, they won't, like, other people that he has to associate with won't respect him and won't, like, let him do what he needs to do because he's not officially, like, part.
Yeah, and he cannot with and his boss in Japan because the way he got his intel is by police, and he cannot tell them that. Because of his, like, secret boyfriend / bodyguard.
And, yeah. Yeah, and so Yuryo goes to Japan because he's like, fuck, I need to find Victor. But he's been looking for Victor this whole time because he's like, either come the fuck back or give me your fucking position.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's never, like... He's basically almost given up hope and is hoping that people will just calm the fuck down and just respect him as boss, you know, eventually, when Otabek gets this tip that probably from Yakov about, you know, this Russian guy that has just made, like, the watch list in Japan.
Yes.
And Yurio's like, oh, Victor, that fucker. Why Japan? We have no ties with the Yakuza. And also, no one is going to believe me when I tell them that he's over there because, yeah, info from a cop. Wow, that's going to go over well.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, guess what? I'm taking a vacation to Japan. And everybody is like, no, that's how we lost the last one.
Oh, my God. And... Can we just, Mila or Lilia is just like, no, if you, sorry, not Lilia, Mila is just like, but if you go, Georgie is next in line.
Oh my God, Georgie! Oh no, our Phantom of the Opera killer, no.
I think that Yuryo would not tell anyone he's going. He would go undercover in his tiger hoodie. And he doesn't know that half the plane is his teammates who are watching over him undercover too.
He's like, me and Otabek are gonna go, like,
sneak out.
We're gonna sneak out. We're gonna go economy class.
Mm-hmm. Because oh God.
We're gonna be undercover. And just, he is miserable the whole time. And, like, the entire, like, business class and first class are made up of, like, yeah, his bodyguard team.
Yes. Yeah.
Literally, just, like, his... Lilia.
Yeah.
Yes. Lilia sending all these people because she's like...
Because she knows.
Victor was a fuck up. I'm not losing this one. I hated the last one. I actually like this one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, this one wants to be there.
And then, here's the kicker. Yuryo comes back after, like, blood and gore and murder in Japan. And not only does Yuryo actually come back from Japan... Which kind of startles a lot of people because they had been thinking of Japan as kind of the Bermuda Triangle for their mob bosses. and then not only does he come back, but he brings Victor back. And not only Victor, but he somehow has made it a fucking alliance with the Yakuza?
Yes!
Like, this kid is like Jesus! What the fuck is happening?
It's literally the equivalent of Grand Prix Gold for, like, Mafia.
Yes.
I think that Victor disappeared in Japan at the same time that a new killer was starting to make the rounds in Japan. So they totally think that the new killer killed Victor.
Yes, when the new killer was Victor.
Da, 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 da. Okay. So also, I want angst. So I think that since they don't really know if Victor is alive or not, like, Yuryo has all of these feelings about, like, am I supposed to be grieving or angry or relieved that Victor is alive, right? And, like, the only person who actually understands is Otabek.
Yup.
And he's the only one who can get, like, confront him, because he Kenda knows that, okay, so your mentor is also your enemy, but also not. I can have that with Yakov, by the way. But...
oh, and they're also still teenagers.
Yes.
And still being teenagers about it.
And I think that the first time that Otabek and Yuryo have sex is on the night of the coronation.
Oh, they finally do it when Yuryo is finally king!
Yes! Oh, maybe, like, yes. You know, he's like, I don't know, it's this celebration, like, at midnight I'm gonna be the new boss, so, like, I just want to fuck you as a layperson for the first time, and then we can be, like, bosses thing.
Oh, how romantic.
Oh my gosh! But they murder someone first. One last murder as a layperson.
Yeah, it's a bloody wedding. There's probably going to be murder at, like, maybe not, like, Games of Thrones, but it's probably not cool, because some people are not going to be okay with the fact that Victor is the alliance with Japan.
Oh, shit, no.
You know? So, like, Yuryo, to ascertain his position, will have to kill off any defectors. And also, you can probably blame any one of these people who just died to be the spy, and then Otabek is off the hook.
Sorry, just Yuryo murdering defectors.
Yeah, I think Otabek has to quit the police on that day, too. Like, I think that...
I don't think so, because I think Yakov saves his job.
Oh, I would say that Yakov dies in the mayhem, but okay.
No! No!
No!
No!
He's a figure. He has to die.
Okay, so here's the thing about my ultra-dark AUs.
Nobody important dies.
Because here's the thing. I love serial killer AUs, but I don't actually like depressing fic. I like fic where... people are really shitty and terrible, but they're really happy being shitty and terrible. So we can't have character death of people we care about.
Okay, what if he's just hurt and has to quit? Anyway, he's gonna retire. Okay, wait. He announces on that coronation, okay, that fateful coronation / wedding, okay? Yakov says that he's retiring, like, in the next few months. And, like, Otabek is free to follow whichever path he wants to.
Because he was this undercover agent, yeah.
So he makes a choice and tells Yuryo that, now I'm staying with you. And Yuryo's like, well, actually, I'm not boss yet. So, like, for a brief, maybe 3 hours, neither of us is actually anyone's boss. Like, both of us are on the same plane. We are both jobless. Right now. Let's fuck.
Mile high.
Yes.
Oh, and then they go murder someone.
Yeah, okay. Like, maybe somebody catches them while they're talking about, like, they're not feeling, or they're not talking about their feelings. Like, they're basically, like, failing to talk about the feelings, and then somebody comes up and, like, you were a cop? And he just kills them without looking. And Yuryo is all, help eyes, that was the cutest thing.
I was thinking someone threatened Yakov, actually.
Ooh.
And, like, Yakov announces that he's retiring, and someone is like, oh yeah, I bet you're retiring because blah, 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 Lilia, blah, blah, Otabek, blah, blah. Whatever, and maybe actually has actual dirt on him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, murder. And if we want to tie that into, like, Yuri's Japanese plot and, you know, put a bit of intrigue in there, someone has been subtly threatening Yakov and Otabek for a while. Mm-hmm. But they haven't known... What?
Somebody's onto them a little, like...
Yeah, but they can't figure out who it is. Like, they can't figure... So, you know, Yuryo and Otabek have had to be, like, ultra, like, platonic, and Otobek has had to give away way more secrets than he's wanted to, but Yurio knows, so that's okay. They're figuring out what they can give to the police so that everybody thinks Otobek's on the up and up, and that so nobody suspects Yakov and has, you know, arrests him and all of this. And then suddenly Victor comes back with Yuri, and Yuri knows Peacheat, and Peacheat is the blackmail fucking master.
And he'd have connections everywhere.
Exactly. And then he quickly figures out who is on to Yakov and Otobek. And then in like the last couple of hours before this giant wedding takes place and Yakov's retirement party takes place and, you know, all of this stuff happens, Yurio's like, I want to fucking take care of this guy because he's threatening my people, and my people is you. And then they go murder him, and then...
Okay.
Otobek is like, you...
Can I...
Yeah!
I love all of this. I think... Wait, okay. So, I think that the coronation slash wedding is actually a coronation slash wedding. So they exchange gift of goodwill, right? Because now they are in a relationship with Japan. And...
Right.
Yuri is all, well, Yurio, to tell you, like, to give you my goodwill, I will tell you a secret. I know who's... Like, you know, I know about something about your group, and Yurio's like, fuck, 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 you know who the cop is, with totally my boyfriend. But Yuri is like, no, I know who is threatening your cop boyfriend, bitch. right? Because Peacheat told him, because Peacheat knows
that. Yes, because...
Oh my gosh.
So he gives this as a gift, as a goodwill gift, and Yuri's like, oh, that's pretty cool. And but he's like, well, I can't really do anything about it. And Otobek is, oh, well, I'm going to deal with this. And Otobek goes kill him in blood, like cold blood murder. And that's the first time that Otobek killed in, like, not self-defense. Because otherwise it was always defending Yurio. But this was just...
Yeah, like watching his back while Yurio did the cold blood murder thing.
Yeah, or just like, you know, in defense and everything. But this one was actually like premeditated. And I think that decides for him that he cannot be a cop anymore. Like, that's the line. I was like, you know, that's the line. And I did, like, I stepped on it willingly. So I'm all yours now. Like, Yurio, I'm yours. Just take all the way. And I then think, they do.
I think Yurio is there. Like, he takes Yurio to this cop's house or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like a grand gesture.
And Yurio stands back and lets him do it because Otobek is like, let me fucking do this. I need to do this. And Yurio's like, that's cool. Yeah.
It's like this grand gesture.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
yes.
an own gift. I give you my murder virginity.
Oh,
I know, yeah, because literally, like hell, Peacheat would let Yuri go to Japan and not tell him every bit of detail that he possibly knows.
Yup.
Okay, so their first time, is it like, you know, on the blood floor of this house? Or is it like cutesy pie in a room, totally vanilla, just looking at each other the whole time?
I think, okay... It's definitely not on the floor. Yurio is a classy fucking lady, okay? He needs a bed.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs his own...
Are they gonna fuck on the dead guy's bed?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think Yurio would need his lube.
I'm sure they can find something.
Dead guy can have fucking lube.
Maybe he brought it with him. He knew this was coming. He's been walking around with this lube for like 4 months.
He's been carrying it around.
I want
waiting for Otobek to be ready.
Yes. I want Yurio to always come home and Otobek being like, I'm not ready yet, and you're like respecting him for this.
Yeah, and he's like, you're finally ready.
Yes.
I have the lube right here. And Otobek is like, how long have you been waiting for this?
I've been waiting one fucking year. Oh god!
But yeah, they're in a bed, but they're definitely, you know, they aren't clean.
Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, anyway, I think that they will have to burn the house down when they're done anyway, because they have to like make the poop disappear. So it's fine; they can do anything anywhere.
Oh, yeah. They definitely christened that house.
Oh, and by the way, like, that guy, he had a really cute cat that Yuryo just adopts. That's that dog.
Oh my gosh, that's so great!
And he just steals the cat.
Oh my god!
That is so amazing!
They burn the house.
That's how he gets Portia! Oh my god, that's how he gets Portia.
You know how people, like, take trophies from murders, right?
Yes!
He takes the cat!
He takes the cat as, like, this is the trophy of the murder that Otabek, like, of Otabek's first murder, all of that stuff.
Yes.
Just every time I look at this cat, I'll remember your love for me.
Yes, all you were covered in blood and semen.
Yup.
Also, if I left the cat there, the cat was going to eat the guy's eyeballs. So, saving the cat, too.
Also, we didn't want the cat to burn. Yeah. Like, that would be cruel.
It was a very fluffy cat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, killing humans, sure, but cats? No.
No.
How did you do that?
She was, like...
Maybe he was planning on being a vet.
I'm sorry?
When he wasn't going to be the boss.
Oh, well...
I think the cat would be, like, a vicious thing that just bites everybody.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It prowls around the, like, their, like, mansion or wherever the fuck they live. And, like, the cat is fine to, like, the house staff.
Mm-hmm.
Because Yuryo is very firm with the cat that these people who are, like, cleaning and whatever, who are servants, they are to be respected. Because that was his mom's job for a long time. Like, he knows to fucking respect and, you know, treat these people with dignity. But all of the, like, rando, like, mafia people that wander around, oh, man, this cat. They're like, oh, the master's cute little kitty. Oh, he... Ah!
Literally.
Oh, God.
An assassination is foiled by the cat jumping on the guy's head.
Oh, yes. This cat, it becomes a running joke that the cat is the new bodyguard.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. The cat's called Horse.
Oh, I love it. And I want the cat to, like, cock block them sometime. And then, like, we waited a year.
Can I just give a little bit of trivia? So Yuryu's cat in Yuri on Ice is called Portia, which it's his grandmother's name.
Oh, I thought it was, like, tiger something something. It was something ridiculous, no?
Well, yeah, but it's official name. Like, the nickname is Portia.
Oh, okay.
Which is his grandmother's name.
Oh.
So it's really cute, but he ends up naming this thing after his grandmother, and he has the big name, but it's named after his grandmother. So just this cat with his grandmother's name, like, sitting in the doorway, and he's just like, no, I can't fuck you in front of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Otabek threatens to send the cat to Yuri and Victor.
Yes.
To cockblock them.
He actually does.
One day he does, and then Yuri just, like, starts texting Yuryo, just like, I fucking hate you. Like, I'm going to murder you.
Just so you know, this is a picture of our poodle and your cat cuddling, so it will haunt your dreams.
Also, Makachin.
I think Makachin would go really well.
Makachin has totally eaten people.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, but he's scared shitless of this cat. And he's, like, cowering in a corner with a tiny cat in front of him.
Poodles are intelligent.
Poodles, I can attest. I have a poodle right next to me. He would be, like, so freaked out.
Yep. Oh, okay, so I have one lingering question.
We have a plot? This is great.
Yeah, I know, this is weird. We have a plot.
I know, right?
So if gift in good faith from Japan, from the Yakuza to the Russian mafia is the identity of the man who has been stalking and threatening the mafia's new boss's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
What does Yuryo give Yuri and Victor as a wedding gift?
Oh.
Because Because I can, like, my thought process goes, Yuri, like, has, like, some, like, banal, like, gift in good faith, like, something, like, random, that whatever, whatever. And then Yuri gives him this gift, like, the identity of, Otabek's dude. And now Yurio is like, oh, shit, I can't give him what, like...
I have to give something.
Like, I have to actually, like, find a fucking gift.
I can't just
give him Victor's grandmother's china or some shit. Like, it has to be, like, an actual thing.
Because I think, like, maybe if he releases Victor from all responsibility, that's pretty big. Maybe immunity to his country so that Victor can come back and forth. But he would already have that.
Yeah, same with the Victor releasing thing. Like, that's the whole thing with, like, them being an alliance, right?
Yeah, it's a coronation.
Well, look, if we've already got the whole, like, international kind of situation going on, which makes sense with it being Yuri on Ice, we can kind of have, like, woven in a competitor being, like, one of the other, like, skaters or something. So depending on who you want to do, I mean, I'm personally just thinking JJ is putting a wrench in everything, being a little shit.
Oh, fuck you, JJ.
I adore JJ
so
much.
I love him so much.
But no, like that was
awesome, and I hate him.
But oh god, oh. JJ would be that fucking cop, like that Gryffindor cop running
out of there. I kind of wanted him to be, like, the Canadian mafia guy.
Yeah, I can see. I mean, he's literally, like, the Canadian king.
Oh, wait.
He's the Canadian king.
Okay, can I tell you about Canadian mafia?
Okay. Oh, please do. Yes. Let me learn more about my home country.
Yes, well, because I'm from Quebec, right? And I worked for the maple syrup industry for a while because I'm very cool like that. And we have the mafia, like, 4 years ago? No, wait, that was a long time. Like, 7 years ago, maybe, because I was working then. Who stole about...
Oh, is this the maple syrup heist?
Yes, it is.
Ah, the maple syrup heist!
Okay, so...
I love that story!
The mafia, the actual fucking mafia, stole billions of gallons of maple syrup, and that's worth a fuck ton of money from, like, the big warehouse where we kept it. And to this day, they haven't found exactly who did it and what they did with the maple syrup. They, like, they found a part of it back, but they can't trace it because it's liquid, right? So the mafia got away with this maple syrup thing. But they just, like, okay, so the way they did it, which was released in a press conference, so, you know, this is public knowledge. they actually just showed up with trucks during the night. And they filled up the trucks, and people were like, yeah, sure, it's a maple syrup, like, you know, warehouse, so that's fine, that's what happened. And they replaced the maple, like, because their maple syrup are in barrels in this place. And I mean, well, I don't know what measurement you make, but, like, 1 meter high barrels, they're really fucking huge and heavy. So they filled them with water and pumped out the maple syrup and put it into cisterns. Camion, like oil trucks, like with like a big thing behind it. And so they put the maple syrup in there and replaced the barrels with water. So the piles of maple syrup, they looked fine. And they did that like with all of the barrels were at the bottom of the piles so that you couldn't tell when people like opened the barrels to check if the maple syrup was still good. They opened the top one, right? Which one, the one at top of the on top of the pile, and that one was fine, but everything underneath was water. And they did that for, like, fucking months, until they had stolen, I don't know, like, a third of the maple syrup industry, like, of the whole of Quebec for the last past year, like, 10 years. And that is the maple syrup heist of Quebec, of the mafia.
It is the most amazing Canadian story.
It's no freaking one got brilliant. Hurt.
Like, I mean, yes, they did, but not really. Like, this was very polite heist.
And it was a maple syrup.
It's maple syrup.
It's so
and it's
amazing.
Very sneaky. And it's just
yes. Beautiful. And also, it's so extra.
It's so extra. It's so Canadian.
This is definitely JJ's. Okay.
It's definitely JJ's.
So here's the thing. That was JJ's, like, initiation as the king.
Oh my god, yes!
That was his first, like, major thing he did as king, because everybody was like, oh, I don't know about this new guy, because he'd just, like, ruthlessly taken over everything. But yeah, JJ, he'd just ruthlessly taken over, like the entire Canadian mafia. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's like, oh, I don't know about this new guy. And then he pulls that off, and they're like, yup.
And I know it's silly, but I think he didn't even do it for the money. He just did it because he wanted to swim in maple syrup.
In maple syrup.
Oh, that fucker.
Yes.
And then he didn't, like, it was a horrible experience that he's never going to do again because that's a bad idea, mate. But he just
you got maple syrup in places maple syrup shouldn't go.
Yes. Even though I can tell you with very, like, I can tell you 100% that maple syrup lube exists, and I've tasted it, and it's not as good as maple syrup. I'm very sad about this.
There's nothing worse than fake maple syrup.
Oh god, it's the worst.
No, actually, this one was made with real one. Because I had to...
Yeah, but over here...
I had to
over here, it's, good stuff. It's okay. So hard. Like, over our side of the world, it's so hard to get, like, good maple syrup. And if you want to get good maple syrup, it costs, like, a fuck ton.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this just devolved into, like, the most Canadian...
conversation?
I spent 5 years of my life thinking that maple syrup was... disgusting because like, right? I was given it in a restaurant
no.
and I didn't know it was the fake maple syrup.
I know.
Oh, I'm so sad for you.
I know.
I didn't know why anyone would like it, and all the Canadians I know liked it. And I thought that was crazy.
I know. I didn't know until I went to Europe.
Real maple syrup.
Oh, they gave you fake maple syrup.
I know. It's
tragic. It's on a train. Long story.
It's terrible. Anyway, okay, JJ.
Yes.
JJ. So JJ is the head of this mafia, and he's this thorn in Yurio's side, and he's been this terrible thing for, like, years. But he doesn't actually have that many connections, like, in... too many connections in Europe to actually nitpick at Yurio. But he does have a lot of things in Asia. So he's like, what I could do is I could give you this information that I have about one of your competitors. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And that would get rid of him for me. And that'd be real, real dirt.
I think he would, yeah, I think that, like, a path to Canada would be a really good gift. Like, I'm giving you this highway. Like, it was part of my territory, and I had, like, an inn in Canada because of my knowledge and, like, what I, like, you know, what I knew, and just, like, this is my gift to you, and, like, Yuri is, okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking now
he's
because...
he's sort of just like, oh, thank you.
Okay, I'm
that's
still
really
thinking
nice
about maple syrup. Because it's good. No, because when I was working there, like, I learned that there was actually a lot of maple syrup trade with Japan, especially because it's a type of sweet
it's so popular in
that's
Japan.
Very savory and not that sweet. You know, it's a very specific type of sweetness, and that the Japanese really liked. So I was like, maybe he could give him a hint fucking maple syrup.
Are we gonna turn this into like? JJ holding the commodity on maple syrup and Yuri not standing for that.
Yes! That's what I was thinking about.
Oh my gosh!
And as soon as Yurio is like, so I know there's this guy in Canada, Yuri is like, tell me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me!
Yuri has a sweet tooth and hasn't been able to get his fix.
Oh my god, that's freaking insane.
This is the most ridiculous thing,
but
also the best.
It's so accurate, though.
Opal song? As a Canadian, I think we need a scene where, like, Yuri just pours maple syrup on Victor and licks it up. I think it's our duty to include this.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I just have this image of this scene of just like this kind of Omake post-credit thing where it's just like, I went through so much shit to get this, so now we're gonna use it.
Yes! Yes, like, oh gosh, that would be the, you know, the crackiest small box, like, panel thing. Oh god, yes.
Oh god. Oh god.
Okay. That's a good ending.
That is... Okay, the only thing that makes it better is that Yuri takes a picture, sends it, or intends to send it to Peachy to go like, ha ha ha, you know, in typical bro way, accidentally sends it to Yurio, and Yurio texts back, oh my god, my eyes!
Oh my god, yes.
Like, this is not what I expected you to do with the entire of the maple syrup trade.
And cut! Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's great.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
That is really brilliant.